Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System. Christus Spahn Health System is making a multi-million dollar investment in the health of Coastal Bend families with a new shoreline tower featuring state-of-the-art life-saving medical technology for a growing community. More information is available at ourpathforward.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Live from Corpus Christi, Texas, welcome to the Cathedral Sunday Mass, where the gospel is proclaimed and our spirit refreshed by the real presence of the living God. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
My dear family, good morning, and thank you for tuning in to this live broadcast of the Cathedral Mass. This weekend, again, we have entered a very unusual weekend for all of us who are used to being at our parish communities. We invite you to please join in participating with us from home with all of your family, and we have made available the order of worship at our webpage at cccathedral.com. There you can download the order of worship and sing with us, which we invite you and encourage you to do, so that together we enter this Laetare Sunday rejoicing in God's goodness to us all. For he will continue to accompany us in this time that is very testing for all of us. So please join in singing the opening hymn with us in spirit, and we sing with you at home with our celebrant, Bishop Movey, who is here to celebrate this Mass with and for all of us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Dear sisters and brothers, as Father Elizardo has already welcomed you, those who are listening and those who are watching by television and streaming, I too want to welcome you to this very unusual time and this very unusual mass here in an empty cathedral. The cathedral building may be empty, but we as church are full of life, and we are full of the Holy Spirit this morning as we suffer through these days and times. And so let us begin this sacred mass by acknowledging our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts, in my words, in what I have done, and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
Let us pray. O God, who through your word reconciled the human race to yourself in a wonderful way, grant, we pray, that with prompt devotion and eager faith, the Christian people may hasten toward the solemn celebrations to come. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
A reading from the first book of Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, for I have chosen my king from among his sons." As Jesse and his sons came to the sacrifice, Samuel looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is here before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. Not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart." In the same way, Jesse presented 7 sons before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any one of these." Then Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" Jesse replied, "There is still the youngest who is tending the sheep." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send for him. We will not begin the sacrificial banquet until he arrives here." Jesse sent and had the young man brought to them. He was ruddy and a youth handsome to behold and making a splendid appearance. The Lord said, "There, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel, with the horn of oil in hand, anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention the things done by them in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." But others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on the Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. And he said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked him, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age, question him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and are you trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see,' so your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
My dear friends, on Ash Wednesday, as we concluded the solemn ceremony of the distribution of ashes, and we began the Lenten season, I remember saying one thing: smile. It seems like this season, and especially that day, seems so somber to us. And yet it is a day, it was a day, and it is a season for conversion. And conversion leads to happiness and joy. Today is Lectare Sunday, this day of rejoicing in the midst of Lent, the fourth Sunday of Lent. And so if I can exhort each one of you who is listening or watching, smile. Today, as I celebrate this Mass in a cathedral that is basically empty, I am grateful for the few members of the choir that could come and help us to celebrate for you, our brothers and sisters. But as I celebrate this Mass overall in an empty cathedral, this is close to my 10th anniversary as the Bishop of Corpus Christi, ordained in this cathedral on Wednesday 10 years ago. I'm close to my 45th anniversary as a priest. But I do so with both of these anniversaries in mind alone in this cathedral. When you, the people of God, the church, are not in the church building. But I want to remind you, you are church. You are, we are, the body of Christ. And although at this time we are deprived of partaking of the source and the summit of our life as Christians, the Eucharist, we still remain church. The Holy Spirit is alive and active in each of our lives. The Holy Spirit is alive in our church. This is an unprecedented moment in the life of our church, especially in these times. What has happened and what will happen is probably the question that is in most of our lives. We know what has happened and what is happening. A virus, COVID-19 or coronavirus, has hit people across the globe, has spread from person to person, sweeping from China across Asia, Europe, Middle East, Africa, North, South, Central America, Oceania, in the U.S. from the East Coast to the West Coast. The virus has arrived in major cities throughout Texas and announced yesterday a case of the COVID-19 is now present in our own city of Corpus Christi. To our brother who has been stricken with the virus here in Corpus Christi, the reports say that you will recover, thank God. But we offer to you and your family our very special prayers and thoughts this morning. The number of those affected across the globe are over 300,000. Our own beloved country ranks the third highest in numbers of reported cases. Italy has the highest numbers of death in the whole world, over 4,800, more than China, where the pandemic began. 23 of those deaths in Italy are priests, one of whom I've known over the years at various meetings. A priest, I was told just before Mass, a Franciscan priest in Washington, D.C., has also been stricken and his life taken. But it's not about priests, it's not about different nationalities that are struck, it is about the human race. We are being united, sisters and brothers, in an unprecedented way through a virus that knows no creed, no race, no social status, no political stance. It has reached across the globe and it has touched families, it has touched church communities, and it touches us today as we participate in the Eucharist via social media. The pandemic unveils and brings to light things that perhaps you and I pay little attention to. These 3 Sundays of Lent that we are celebrating, last Sunday we recounted the story of the Samaritan woman whose faith was weak, whose morals could be questionable, but she met Jesus. And he asked one thing from her. He asked for her faith. Today Jesus meets a blind man who could not see, a physical infirmity. Jesus asked one thing for her faith, his faith. And next week, on the 5th Sunday, we will meet Jesus raising his friend Lazarus from the dead, asking one thing, faith. Faith is believing in what we do not know. Faith is putting ourselves with an encounter with Jesus Christ, with the power of God in his Son. In this particular time in our journey of life, Jesus wants our faith. The image of the blind man today shows us that certain things in life remain hidden. Certain things in our own life remain hidden. And when evils such as a virus as this come to light, it makes us rethink who we are. To whom do we go? What's life all about? Many, many questions. And I know all of you have thought of those questions. To whom do we go? Where do we find meaning? Where do we find answers? And where do we find healing? It is for us as Christians, Jesus Christ. There's no magical formulas. There's no magical wand. But faith is what can reveal to us the beauty of life. Faith is what can reveal to us the wisdom of the Holy Spirit in every situation. And if we allow the Lord to work in our lives through this difficult time, with so many things happening, even the loss of jobs, the loss of income, the pains that that will cause families and communities, even through all of that, Jesus wants one thing, our faith. And with faith, all things are possible. Because it will pull us together. It will bring people out of their selfishness. It will bring people out of their own blindness to help their brothers and sisters. Today, I would like to present 2 scripture verses that I think could guide us through these times. And the first is a vision statement, a statement that comes from Jesus. There was a prayer, his last prayer, his final prayer, his greatest desire, his passion for our world, for our humanity, for our country, for all countries. Was his passion. It's what he died for. And that scripture is, Father, may they all be one, so that the world may believe. May they work together. May they pray together. May they help one another. That's what Jesus wanted, and that's what he wants today. Father, may they be one. Churches, families, communities, countries, and the world. Churches, in their divisions, need to find healing and reconciliation. Recently, I was in the city of Trent, where the Counter-Reformation took place and the church was divided over 500 years ago. We need to work for reconciliation. Families are divided daily over petty arguments, over difficulties, over misunderstandings. Families, reconcile. Become who you really are, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Communities, through indifference and competition. We are not in competition with one another. We cannot remain indifferent to one another. We're called to be one. We are called to unity. In our country, divided by ideologies, left, right, conservative, liberal, anger, blame, gossip, we need to stop. We need to stop. And this pandemic is calling us together. Either we stand together, either we reconcile as a community, or we perish. Let's come together. The Lord is calling us together. Let's make the world smile again. Let's make our country a happy place again. Let's make our communities, our churches, our families whole. We can do it. Come to me, all you who are laboring, and I will give you rest. I will give you the wisdom, Jesus says, to bring about a new world. And the second is more of an action statement. We have the vision for unity that all be one, the action. And it's simple. It is so simple and yet difficult at times to accomplish. And it exists in the Hebrew scriptures. It exists in the Quran. It exists in Buddhist writings, Taoist, all religions, our own Christian religion as well, in the New Testament. It is the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. The greatest blindness, brothers and sisters, is the blindness to the person in front of me, to the person that walks beside me, that I ignore, or that I don't think about. Let's do, especially during this critical time of the spread of this virus, to do simply all of our actions out of love for our brothers and sisters. Let's think about their needs before we think of our own. Let's carry their pains and burdens as we carry our own. Let's assist, reach out to others. God created every human being in His image and likeness. And this call to do unto others as you would have, as we would have them do to us, begins with life, my life, your life, the life that begins in the womb of our mothers. This is a time for all countries, beyond the politics, beyond the ideologies, to put our first value in a respect for human life. All life begins somewhere, and our life begins in the womb of our mothers. The only right, the only duty that you and I have is to respect that life. And if we respect that life in the womb, we will respect every life. We will change our attitude toward every person, because every person is sacred. No matter what their social condition is, no matter what their language is, no matter where they come from, every human person is due respect, because that person is created and loved by God. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. And finally, I would appeal to families. The nuclear family, church families, and the world family. The first reading from the book of Samuel speaks of a tragic family story where, through jealousy and competition, brothers sold the youngest brother, Joseph, into slavery and watched him be taken off. And yet it was that brother who, in the end, saved the rest of them. During this critical time, let's put aside our competitions, let's put aside our jealousies as families, beginning with the nuclear family. Let's come together. Let's be who we are. Let us save the family. Let us put the family back together. Husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, the first responsibility is yours. Spend time with your children. Take care of them. They are a treasure that you assisted God in bringing into life. If we heal the family, if we respect every human life, the world will smile again. The world will be different. The world will be a healthy place to live in. We will also respect nature and the environment. Yes, we need to dream dreams in the midst of this tragedy. We need to think ahead. What will the world be like after COVID-19 is cured? Thank you, sisters and brothers, for considering these words, the words of the Lord Jesus himself, that all be one and do unto others. Please take them to heart. Do what you can do. And remember, even in the midst of this tragedy, Jesus asks each one of us, do you believe? Do you have faith? Yes, Lord, I believe. And if you don't, ask the Lord. Simply say, I don't believe. Help me to believe. It changes our life. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Healed of his blindness, the man born blind proclaims, Lord, I do believe. With that same faith in Christ, the light of the world, we now come to the Father with these prayers.
That Christ, the light of the world, may ever shine through the unity and charity of his church, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That Christ, the light of the world, may cast out rivalry and the worship of power from the minds of the leaders of nations. We pray to the Lord.
Lord,
hear our prayer. That Christ, the light of the world, may kindle hope in the hearts of those who suffer and those who are preparing to receive their heavenly reward. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That Christ, the light of the world, may renew our faith as we continue our prayer, sacrifice, and generosity this Lenten season. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the people of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and birthday blessings on Jose Garza, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That Christ, the light of the world, may raise the dead to eternal glory, especially the deceased members of the Mew family, Susana Molina, Joe D. Lopez, Santiago Jaramillo, Marcelino B. Gonzalez, Jesusita J. Canales, Delia Farias, Ruben Moreno, Mary Kauflers, Chelsea and Jose Ornelas, Katie Marsh, and Elizabeth Peluche. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
for all who are affected by the coronavirus through illness, isolation, or anxiety, that God may extend his healing hand upon them and give them peace, healing, and recovery. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For doctors, nurses, medical researchers, public health officials, and civic leaders, that they may be protected from all illness and restore many to health as they respond to this emergency with compassion and in service to the common good. We pray to the Lord.
Each Sunday, every bishop is to offer Mass for all the people of his diocese. And so it's a special privilege today in this empty cathedral to know that we are all united, even in our absence in our churches, but we are united in faith and love. And so I offer this Mass together with the other intentions for all the people of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. O God, protector of all who trust in you, be with us and hear our prayers, that among the changes and uncertainties of this life, you may scatter the darkness of our doubt, anxiety, and suffering, so that we may come to know your peace and constant protection through Christ our Lord. Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good of all his holy church.
We place before you with joy these offerings, which bring eternal remedy, O Lord, praying that we may be both faithful to you and present them to you as is fitting for the salvation of the world. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. By the mystery of the Incarnation, he has led the human race that walked in darkness into the radiance of that faith, and has brought those born in slavery to ancient sin through the waters of regeneration to make them your adopted children. Therefore, all creatures in heaven and earth sing a new song of adoration, and we, with all the hosts of angels, cry out and without end acclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, and from the world's beginning are ceaselessly at work so that the human race may become holy, just as you yourself are holy. Look, we pray, upon your people's offerings and pour out on them the power of your Spirit, that they may become the body and blood of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we too are your sons and daughters. Indeed, though we once were lost and could not approach you, you loved us with the greatest love. For your Son, who alone is just, handed himself over to death and did not disdain to be nailed for our sake to the wood of the cross. But before his arms were outstretched between heaven and earth, in becoming the lasting sign of your covenant, he desired to celebrate the Passover with his disciples. As he ate with them, he took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of your death, of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Passover and surest peace, we celebrate his death and resurrection from the dead and look forward to his blessed coming. We offer you, who are faithful and a merciful God, the sacrificial victim who reconciles you to the human race. Look kindly, most compassionate Father, on those you unite to yourself by the sacrifice of your Son, and grant that by the power of the Holy Spirit, as they partake of this one bread and one chalice, they may be gathered into one body in Christ, who heals every division. Be pleased to keep us always in communion of mind and heart, together with Francis, our Pope, me, your unworthy servant. Help us to work together for the coming of your kingdom until the hour when we stand before you, saints among the saints, in the halls of heaven, with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, Joseph, her husband, with the blessed apostles and all the saints, and with our deceased brothers and sisters, whom we humbly commend to your mercy. Then, freed at last from the wound of corruption and made fully into the new creation, we shall sing to you with gladness and thanksgiving with our lives for all eternity. Through him, with him, and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Pray together the prayer that unites us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Hello, I'm Father Pete Alisadro, rector of the Corpus Christi Cathedral. And on behalf of Bishop Mulvey and the Cathedral family, we want to thank you for joining us for the celebration of the Holy Eucharist. May God continue to bless you and all of your loved ones with his love, peace, and joy, and may you always know how we carry you always in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you and keep you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by Christus Spahn Health System, making a multi-million dollar investment in a new state-of-the-art shoreline tower. For more information on the region's most advanced medical center with skilled physicians and highly specialized services like trauma, heart, surgery, and urology all under one roof, log on to ourpathforward.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System for their continuing support of the Cathedral Sunday Mass. If you have been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.